Good morning, and welcome to Black Book Talk, Portland's, and we suspect Oregon's, only regularly scheduled broadcast devoted to works by and about Black people. I'm Patricia Welch, and I and co-hosts O.B. Hill and Emma Jackson Ford introduce you to interesting books and authors each month at this time. We've been able to do this for almost 30 years because we've had your support, and we sorely need it now. We have lost over 10% of our funding because Congress voted to defund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the major source of our grant funding. This means that about $110,000 that cable relies on will not be coming in 2026. This morning, we're asking you to support our Cable Fights Back campaign. Our goal is $75,000 by December 31st. Please support Black Book Talk and other shows like ours that provide information that you won't find anywhere else. You can donate in so many ways. Go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. And then there's snail mail. You can mail it to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97212. Whichever way we do it, we will thank you. We will be grateful. And now on to today's show.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
Good morning, and welcome to the December edition of Black Book Talk. I am Patricia Welch, Librarian Emeritus. With me this morning,
Emma Jackson Ford, Bookwoman.
And O.B. Hill, Community Historian.
We are the special guests for this month's program. We're going to be talking about books that we recommend for the holiday season. Whatever you celebrate, this is always a good time to give a gift of a book. Who would like to start out?
I could start.
Yay.
Well, I always think it's a good idea to give a book or more than one book for a Christmas present. If you could see my living room, you would know that I've already been wrapping books that I ordered earlier, and they were here, so I started wrapping them and laying them around, getting people excited about Christmas. This year, we read a book in my book club called The Sisterhood of Blackberry Corner. It's written by a woman named Andrea Smith. It's set in 1950 South Carolina, and it's told through the voice of Bunny Wilder. Bunny Wilder is married to a man whose name is Nas, and she wants a child more than anything in the world. And one weekend, her husband goes away on a trip, a fishing trip. And when he comes back, he brings a baby, an abandoned baby that he found. And they really don't know what to do about that. You know, you find a baby, can you just keep it? Do you have to go to the sheriff? Or what do you do? Do you have to give the baby up if someone comes? So Bunny gets with the women at her church, and they form a mission to match children whose parents can't raise them to a family who wants a child. It's a novel about friendship, motherhood, family, and the complications of adoption. It's a deep, well-told story by Bunny, alternating between the 1950s and she's looking back in the 1980s telling the story. There are lots of emotions in this book, lots of twists and turns. It's like sitting with an elderly neighbor who's telling you a story and has you hanging on the edge of your seat because there are so many surprises in this book. If you want to give a really great present of a book, this would be one you might want to look at. The Sisterhood of Blackberry Corner by Andrea Smith.
Great. OB, want to go next?
Ladies before gentlemen.
Well, I was telling somebody, there's certain things that you don't even hear people say nowadays, like being a lady, it seems not important. But since I'm from a generation where telling somebody that they were a lady was quite the compliment, I will take it and I will go next. Okay, the books that I'm going to talk about are for somebody, the books that I'm thinking, the ones that got away, either because I wish we had interviewed the author or because I started them and didn't get back for a while. But the first book I'm going to discuss, The History of We, is one that we still have got to do a show on. I met the author at the American Library Association conference, and somehow we just haven't been able to connect. But this is an absolutely beautiful book, and I love books that are just expressions of artistry. Smith, he was the illustrator for the New York Times best-selling book, The 1619 Project, Born on the Water. And he's done other works. I mean, he's a writer, but he's also, I think, primarily known and appreciated as being an artist. Okay, The History of We is about the origins of mankind. It goes way back. And the premise, which is absolutely correct, is that the origins of mankind were in Africa, that whoever you are, if you go back far enough, your ancestors are Black. But that's not, that's a fact of the book, but that's not the only thing it's about. It just goes through time and says, you know, what was it like when you didn't know how to paint, when you didn't make music? How did people come from that time to this time? And in telling the story of mankind's development, Smith just on every page just has an absolutely striking illustration. I wish we could show this book. So anyhow, I'm recommending this. And even though the stated audience is our preschoolers to third grade, 4 to 8 years old, this is a book for everybody. The response to the book has been incredible. So if you're looking for a book that will be great for a preschooler, has a wonderful message, you know, will teach them something, but it will also inspire adults. I think it will inspire anybody. So my recommendation for a preschool book would be The History of We by Nicholas Smith. And he spells his first name N-I-K-K-O-L-A-S Smith, published by One World Books. Gentlemen, next.
Well, I want to go back 123 years. The book that I recommend is The Souls of Black Folks by W.E.B. Du Bois, written in 1903. I'm just reading from the cover. With this extraordinary work, first published in 1903, but even more pertinent today, W.E.B. Du Bois declared that the problem of the 20th century is the problem of the color line. And now that we're into the 21st century, that same veil needs to be lifted.
Emma, were you finished? Forgive me.
Well, I brought several books. The other one is The Miseducation of the Negro by Carter G. Woodson, who established Negro History Week. This is a very, very interesting book written in 1933. African-American historian and educator Carter G. Woodson, who was born in 1875 and he passed in 1950, he delivered a powerful and a prophetic denouncement of Eurocentric school curriculum that still rings true. Woodson inspired Black Americans to demand relevant learning opportunities that were exclusive to their own culture and heritage. In issuing this challenge, Woodson laid the foundation for more progressive and egalitarian educational institutions.
Emma?
Okay. So this next book that I want to talk about and recommend that you give it as a gift is called Sky Full of Elephants. It's by Cibo Campbell. It was written in 2024. The story is set in the time after all the white people in America have vanished. Charlie Bruton, a black professor, and his biracial daughter, whose name is Sydney, and whom he has not met before, start a journey on a trip across the U.S. to find answers and rebuild their lives. She's on a quest because there was a note left on their front door, and she thinks it's from her aunt, who she thought was white, who leaves a note and says, join us in the Kingdom of Alabama. So they are headed to the Kingdom of Alabama to rejoin what she thinks are her people and start this new life. It is a very interesting book. And whenever I tell people it was a story about a time when all the white people vanished in America, people are immediately interested in, well, what would that be like? Interesting book. You will love it. And I know if you give the book as a gift to someone, they will love it. It's called Sky Full of Elephants. It's by Sebo Campbell.
You know, that is an interesting idea. I remember there was a play, I think, called A Day of Absence. And it was like, what happened if black people just stayed home, didn't leave the country, but what if black people just said, we're not buying, we're not trying, we're not working, we're not ever. But I don't know if I've heard about a book where it's just the white people disappear.
Okay. Some of the white people didn't seem to know that they were really black. And so but all the white people go into the ocean. But these other people who look white.
This is the Rhapsody, just for a while.
And maybe were passing, and some who didn't know that they were really black, they're left behind, and they all migrated to the Kingdom of Alabama.
What's the television show on? It's public television. Skip, what is it?
Bill Gates.
Thank you. I couldn't. Yes, that there are all these people who come on, and then at the end, you know, he'll say, "And you're related to somebody famous," and many of the white people on there have found out that they have black relatives.
Yeah,
I actually applaud their courage, and they didn't say. Obviously, they didn't say pull that show. I didn't know. Oh wow, I like this book. I have to read this. Okay. Well, let me go to my second one. I actually want to mention two books by this person, but it's a young author named Frederick Joseph, and I am just impressed with what he seems to be as a person as well as an author. But first, I'll talk about him as an author. He has written this book called This Thing of Ours, and it's by Frederick Joseph, and it is published by Candlewitch Books. It's about a young man named Ozzy, teenager, you know, basketball phenom. He's going to be the next LeBron James. But he has a terrible accident at the beginning of the book. And all of a sudden, he has to grapple with, who is he if he is not the basketball hero? Who is he if his body can't this? You know, who is he if he's going to have to choose another life? So he's at this predominantly white school. And he's not the basketball king, but he starts writing. And he joins a writer's workshop. But it's very interesting what happens to this young man, who is one of very few people of color at the school. And the book focuses on Ozzy, who is black from the projects, Luis, he is Latino, and he's the son of a former NFL player. So he is of color, but he is rich. And then Naima, who comes from an upper middle class family. Her parents are like, you know, professionals, doctors, lawyers, whatever. But they are still the other at this school. The book touches on a variety of topics, a lot of what's happening now, what happens when people decide that they want to control what information, what literature is available to their kids. So all kinds of projects, you know, are dealt with. They deal with what books are going to be taught, what's the curriculum going to be, what happens in a, when a white community says they don't want their children to be reading books by people of color. It touches on so many other topics, but I heard an interview with him, and I was very impressed with not only his approach to this book, but just his worldview. He started a foundation, a nonprofit, that raised, how much was it now? They raised $1.5 million to send children to see Black Panther for free. Over 700,000 children around the world saw this. I mean, this is just phenomenal. One of the largest fundraisers they've ever had. So, you know, online fundraisers. He and his wife have written a book that I'll talk about a little later. But he discovered early on, he was about 24, and he doesn't look much older, that he had muscular dystrophy, but just decided in the time that he had left that he was going to make a positive impact. I love the book. I think that it will do that. It's I think this might be a talk less day for me because I am jumbling all my words. But at any rate, I like this thing of ours just because of all the issues that it addresses. It is formally intended for juvenile audiences, teen, preteen. But again, it's the kind of book that I think anybody would be interested in. So my second pick for a good read for the holiday season is This Thing of Ours by Frederick Joseph, published by Candlewick Press.
Oh, yes, I think I would like that one also. More so for me to read myself. I may give it as a gift.
Yeah, because this is what's happening. The things that address is what's happening now. Books, ideas are being disappeared. So yeah. It's good that young people are being made aware of this, and we should too.
Well, this book that I'm going to talk about, I hope it's not going to disappear from my library, and I'm recommending it. It's a book on Black Americans of Achievement. There's a series of books out, and this particular one here, I'll just read the back cover, Black Americans of Achievement, tells the stories of Black men and women who have helped shape the course of modern history. Written in a straightforward, colorful style for young adults, the series is richly illustrated with photographs, art, and documents. Each volume contains a bibliography and a complete chronological ology of the subject's life, and Coretta Scott King, she has an inspirational essay on achievement and given on this particular book. And the book is entitled Nat Turner, Slave Revolt Leader by Terry Bison. Great book. I usually don't read children's books, but this book I highly recommend. It's illustrated. It gives a lot of very good historical subjects. And actually, it inspired me to try to find out who the other people featured in this series of books are.
I'm going to talk about two books. They're both by the same author. Her name is Octavia Estelle Butler. Octavia E. Butler is one of the only Black sci-fi writers I know. She predicted in her 1993 novel, Parable of the Sower, that February 1st, 2025, would be a time of fires, violence, racism, addiction, climate change, social inequality, and an authoritarian president named President Donner. The Parable of the Sower, which was published in 1993, is the story of Lauren Olamina, and it's about a journey. It's sci-fi, of course, and the book is set in the year 2024 in California. Global climate change and economic crisis has led to chaos in California, and it's full of all the dangers that come with that. There's water shortage, and there are groups of homeless people roaming around using drugs, robbing homes and other people. It's a prediction of what's really happening today. Even though she wrote this before 1993, because that's when it was published. Lauren, our main character, whose voice the story is told through, is hypersensitive. It means that she feels other people's emotions and pains. She feels it so acutely that sometimes it's debilitating. The journey is a fight for survival that leads to a vision and causes her to birth a new faith. It's a great story, and that was the first of her. Her two books are called the Earthseed series. I'd written it so small I couldn't even read it. Her second book is called Parable of the Talents, and it was published in 1998, and it's a continuance of this journey. It's a story told in three alternating voices, that of Lauren Olamina, her daughter Larkin, and Taylor Franklin Bencola, who is the father of Larkin. Lauren is the founder of this new religion. She is leading a spiritual movement that's called Earthseed. Earthseed focuses on change and adaptability. They believe that humans will eventually leave and found new societies on other planets. Lauren and her fellow travelers travel north in California and form a community in rural California that they call Acorn. And then they're attacked and they have to leave. And in that attack, Lauren's child, Larkin, is taken. So they start north and they eventually make it to Portland and go to Seattle. Because they start out saying that they're headed to Alaska, but they wound up doing a community in Portland and then moving on from here. Everybody in the community of Acorn works, and the children are everyone's responsibility. And they form a community that's like a family. Lauren and Bencola become romantic in this journey, and that's how Larkin comes about. Eventually, as I said, they travel to Portland, and then they go up to Seattle looking for their child. She's looking for her child, Lauren. Lauren is telling the story from her point of view, and then Bencola chimes in telling the story from his point of view. There's a character in the book who's running for president who keeps saying, "Let's make America great again." This book, as I said, was published in 1998. Octavia E. Butler was a prophetess.
You know, it's interesting. I read Parable of the Sower. I didn't read both of them. But I think at the time that I read it, I wasn't really ready for it. And listening to you now, I feel like I should go back and reread this because, yeah, I mean, this is like a foretelling. There's one of their most popular books, Kindred. Yeah, yeah. Kindred is a book that a lot of people know about. There was Netflix, or one of the streaming services, did the film version of it. But she is a fantastic writer. And you're right, she's one of the few, not the only one of the few Black people who were doing sci-fi like way back. Yeah. So just for that, she's been recognized and honored for the work that she's done. I mean, not just that she wrote sci-fi, but that she was excellent at it. Okay, I'm going to go back and read those two again, because an authoritarian president who goes around saying, "Let's make America great again." Yep, she knew something.
Knew something.
Okay, you know, I said I wanted to mention another book by Frederick Joseph. And this is one that was done with his wife, Portia Joseph. The name of the book is Better Than We Made It. And essentially, it's about people giving very practical testimonials or whatever on things that you can do, not think about, not hope for, but very practical things that you can do to make this world a better place than, you know, make a better place in the future than it is when you encounter it. It's directed towards Gen Zers age 12 and up, grade 7 and up. But again, this is a book that we could all probably learn something from. They interviewed people, and they said they didn't know exactly what they were going to say. I mean, it wasn't like a directed, we know ahead of time what's going to come out. But they were interested in certain areas, and so they tried to find people with some experience in that area. Let me see, an example, they had Elizabeth Warren in, and she wrote about education. Let's see, a housing expert and former presidential candidate, Julian Castro, wrote about housing insecurity. Best-selling author Nick Stone did something on the prison industrial complex. Topics included feminism, disinformation, homophobia, transphobia, gun violence. It runs the gamut. But it was wonderful to hear the words, not only the author's words and their perspectives, but these other folks' perspectives on what we actually can do to make this world a better place. And I appreciate it that this is a book directed towards young people. So certain terms that we assume everybody knows were highlighted in the book. They were bolded. And you could go back to the glossary and see what these words meant. Because we know not everybody knows what critical race theory is. We think we do. We hear things, but you don't really know. But I think just the good heart of these two people, they're young, they're smart, you know, they're quote unquote very articulate, they're wonderful. And for them to put their energy into this was very inspiring for me. And so in addition to the first book, This Thing of Ours, which is fiction, I also recommend Better Than We Made It by Frederick and Portia Joseph.
I like that too. Yes. All of these will make good gifts. Yes.
Yeah. Drawing to the end, we have any final titles we want to share? Emma, did you want to say something?
No, I think I've said it all this time. Looking forward to seeing to you hearing us in the month of January.
Okay, well, then we thank you all for joining us. We'll see you in the new year.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby.